looked at the importance of doctrine. Simply, the importance of knowing what the Bible teaches and what we believe. And I wanted to establish that because I believe that all the Word of God is important. Even parts we may not fully understand and comprehend. Even the parts of the Word of God that the religious world at large would completely disregard and disagree with entirely. So we're going to study the next few weeks on the subject of the sovereignty of God. I like to do this every few years because I really believe that it's important that everybody understands just who is in charge. It's God, not you. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, is thanking God the Father for His sovereignty in the salvation of sinners. And if this doctrine is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks for it, then certainly you and I should have a great interest in it. It should be of great importance to us to know what the Bible says about God as the supreme ruler over all. Jesus said this in Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Lord Jesus is found thanking God for His sovereignty in opening the eyes of the poor and the ignorant to the truths of salvation by grace. And he is stating unequivocally that in order to be saved, God has to open a man's eyes. God has to open his heart. God has to change his will. It's all of God. It's all of His power. It's all of His grace. And it's not anything that man does. Now what I'm amazed about is in this context, and you'll see that in verse 27, it doesn't... Well, let me make sure. I can't see that very good. It does end with a period. I think I'm going to have to get some new spectacles. I think I may be a little off right now. But in this same context, notice what else he says here. There is no reason why we can't preach the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. There is no reason in the world why we cannot preach that God Almighty is the sovereign ruler who does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, and He does not need man's permission to do anything. We can preach on sovereignty and we can evangelize Jesus did it in the very same context here. He makes a statement that is so powerful, so compelling. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He just thanked God for His sovereignty. Now He is giving a proclamation of sovereign grace to all who are burdened, all who are weighed down with the guilt of sin, with the burden of the judgment of God. And He says, "Come to me." Come to Jesus Christ, who is the way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Come unto me. He doesn't say, you come to a religious organization or you come to the baptismal pool. He didn't direct them to go anywhere but to Himself, because He alone is the Savior of sinners. I know what it is, and if you're saved, you know what it is to be burdened with a sense of sin and your own guilt and degradation and depravity. I was once weighed down so deep with my sins. This verse is so true. You come to Christ, He'll give you rest. Rest from your own works, from your own religious opinions that are not worth a nickel. Rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. He will give rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And by the way, everybody that's truly saved, that has come to Christ, they want to be yoked with Him. They want to be joined to Him. They want to walk with Him. They want to abide in Him. And they do it most willingly when you're saved. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." A person that has come to Christ and experienced the grace of God, they want to learn more about Christ. I remember when I was first saved. Before I was saved, I had no interest whatsoever in the things of God. No interest in the Bible, no interest in prayer, no interest in church, none whatsoever. Zilch. But when God did this work of grace in my heart, I wanted to know. I wanted to grow. I wanted to read the Word of God. I wanted to learn how to pray and witness. And I loved going to church. Everything changed. What happens when you come to Christ? Your life changes. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And here's that phrase again. "Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, serving Christ is difficult, because the world and the devil hate you. Boy, there's not a greater life, is there, than to walk with the Lord and to serve the Lord. I'm so grateful to be saved. And you know who I owe it all to? Our sovereign God. The one that Jesus, that He was praying to His Father, and He was thanking Him for opening the eyes of the babes rather than those who are wise in this world. This is an affirmation of God's sovereignty, and that's really, we're going to define it and affirm it tonight. And it's sad, but it's true, that many who profess to be followers of Christ, who say they believe the Word of God, are really completely ignorant of the teaching of God's sovereignty. They don't know what the Bible teaches about it, or they reject what the Bible teaches about it. I don't want to be in either one of those camps. I want to know what the Bible teaches about the sovereignty of God, and I want to embrace it, affirm it, live it. So what do we mean? First of all, by the word sovereign, Webster defines it as supreme in power, independent of and unlimited by any other. That's a good definition of what sovereign is. Here's what A.W. Pink said. Man, I love... If you don't have his book on the sovereignty of God, get it. I got the hardback. I got a first edition. And it doesn't have any parts cut out. It's not edited at all. Every bit of it's in there. And boy, it's a good book. Here's what I love. The sovereignty of God. What do we mean by this expression? We mean the supremacy of God. The kingship of God. The Godhood of God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that God is God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that He is the Most High, doing according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, so that none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Daniel 4:35. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that He is the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth, so that none can defeat His counsels, thwart His purpose, or resist His will. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that He is the governor among the nations, setting up kingdoms, overthrowing empires, and determining the course of dynasties as pleases Him best. God is sovereign. Now, when we say that God is sovereign, here's what we mean. That God is greater than anyone or anything in His creation. God is greater than anyone or anything in His creation. Let's see if the Bible doesn't bear that out. Turn over to Psalm chapter 96. God is the Most High. That's what He's called in Daniel. What does that mean, the Most High? It means you can't get any higher than God. He's supreme. All right, Psalm 96. Remember when we did this psalm earlier in the year, last year? Just seemed like it was just last year. We did Psalm 96. It was the mission and millennial psalm. Everybody remember it? You got that marked down in your Bible, John, that I preached at? What was the date? Ha ha! Well, I'll tell you what. I hope he loses that Bible. Because what 5 years from now, if I get a hankering to preach that again, I get up and announce my text, John will raise his hand and say, hey, hold on, preacher. You preached that here once already. I've got the date right here in my Bible. And I think he'd do it too. All right, Psalm 96, look at verse 4. It says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Hey, do you believe God is great and greatly to be praised? Look over at Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145, verses 3 through 5. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. This is what we ought to be doing. Declaring the greatness, the sovereignty, the power of Almighty God. So God is greater than anyone or anything. And when we say that God is sovereign, we mean that God rules over all His creation with no rivals to His throne. He is the supreme governor of this entire universe. The Bible says this in Psalm 22:28, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations." 1 Timothy 6:15 says, "Which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." I read a book, I've been reading a book on called The Portrait of God, A Portrait of God by Daniel Chamberlain. He's a Baptist preacher. And it's really a summation of Stephen Charnock's existence and attributes of God. That was a two-volume set. He was a Puritan and very deep thinker, and Brother Chamberlain's kind of brought it into today's vernacular. I like what he said about God's dominion as ruler. He said, "God's dominion is His right to make what He pleases, possess what He has made, and dispose of what He possesses according to His pleasure." God does as He pleases. And He possesses all of His, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. He owns it all, He governs it all, and He can do whatever He wants with it. And that includes me and you. Now, when we say we affirm something, we affirm the teaching of the sovereignty of God, what do we mean by that? An affirmation is a state, it means to state or assert positively, to maintain as true, to confirm or to ratify. So, as we look at the sovereignty of God, and when I say that we affirm that God is sovereign, it means that we are in agreement with that statement, that God is sovereign. So, when we say that God is sovereign, we affirm God's right to do as He pleases, when He pleases, according to His own good pleasure, and for His own glory. I opened up tonight it by quoting a verse. You should know where it is. It's Psalm 115 and verse 3. "Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." Look over at Romans chapter 11. God does everything for His own glory. The salvation and the damnation of men, God does it for His own glory. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. He is stating that God is not only sovereign, that He does what He pleases, but that He is also independent. He doesn't need to ask anybody anything. He knows it all at once. Nobody's ever given Him something He didn't already have. It says in verse 36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." We affirm that you know what, I'm going to stop there tonight. We've gone almost 25 minutes. That's longer than I usually go on. Well, I wouldn't say longer, but that's a good place to stop. We'll stop there tonight. On the affirmations of God's sovereignty. Next week we'll finish that up, and then we're going to get on to a whole section on how you and I profit from this teaching. How do we apply it and profit from it in our lives? See, that's the thing about doctrine. It shouldn't be something you just store up in your head. It ought to be that teaching ought to affect the way you think, the way you live, how you act, how you make decisions. And this, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you're going to have so much more peace knowing that God's in control. But we'll get on to that.